So we have been, at the beginning of the new year, we said, you know, start of the year, everybody's thinking, it's kind of a blank slate. Everybody's thinking, all right, I want to make some changes. Either I want to get out of debt, or I want to, you know, lose weight, or I want to heal a relationship, or whatever it is. We all want to make changes. And so we said, well, let's start this year talking about what does that look like from a spiritual perspective and from a physical perspective. Good health and nutrition and exercise and rest and stewarding our relationships and our finances and all that. So that's what we're doing. We're going probably up until Easter in that series titled For a Whole Healthy Life. And, you know, this is applicable all year long, every year. And but it's a good time to do it now because we're all sort of more attentive to it. Now, it's almost March, and a lot of times resolutions sort of wear off. So we're continuing to talk about it to kind of continue to encourage us all. And in talking to you guys, I know a lot of y'all are kind of sticking with some of the commitments that you're making. And, you know, we fall off and then we get back on. It's not necessarily, I heard somebody say, it's not necessarily, you know, how well you do, but it's just the resilience of when you fall, just keep getting back up. And that's part of why we gather as a church. That's part of why it's important for us to come together. And we're going to be talking about this today, is to encourage each other when we fall down, to say, you can get back up. It's a new day. It's a new start. You know, every year is a new start and a new opportunity, but every day and every week is a new start and a new beginning. And so so that's an encouragement. Last week, Ray talked about the idea of feasting. So we're sort of wrapped up the idea of healthy nutrition and eating, and talked about feasting on God's word. So the idea of healthy nutrition from a spiritual perspective and how important it is to be feasting on God's word for us. And there was so much good stuff. Look, God's word brings life. It brings healing. It brings joy. It brings truth. It sets us free. God's word is living and active. It's the only book that's living and active. We can read all kinds of books that are good and helpful, but God's word is the only book that can really penetrate and pierce us and change us at the very depth of who we are. And so when life change happens, we want to change certain things in our lives. The thing that has to change is our desire and our motivation. And we need power. And God's word is the thing that does that. So we can do a lot of things for a short term, maybe from an outside and external motivation and perspective. But it's kind of like holding your breath underwater. You can only do it for a certain amount of time, and then, you know, then you come back up and you're gasping. God's word is the thing that over time transforms us. So that's why it's important. This week, we're moving on from healthy nutrition, and we're going to talk about the value of rest. Isn't that good? When you hear the word rest, don't you love that word? I love that word. A lot of times when we think about health, we think about diet and exercise, diet and exercise. But rest is important too. And rest is significant. And oftentimes it gets completely overlooked. And I'm guilty of that myself. So this morning we're going to talk about that. And then, as I mentioned, the next coming weeks, we're going to talk about stewarding our relationships and stewarding our resources. And then we'll move into Easter. I've got five sort of main points about rest this morning. I'll start moving through that. And by the way, I've set my alarm on my phone to give me a 5-minute warning when it's time to shut up. So I think that'll help. and if you guys start falling asleep, then that may be a sign too. All right, so we'll start with this. Going to define rest. What is rest? You think about what is rest and what's the difference between sleep and rest. And here's what dawned on me actually this morning. Sleep is what happens when you're out of it, right? You're out of it. And then sleep, sleep's a weird thing, but it's so good. So good to go to sleep. But sleep happens when you're out of it. Rest happens when you're with it, when you're awake. Now, rest can happen while you're sleeping too, but rest happens while you're awake. And when that dawned on me, I thought, man, I need to do a better job focusing on rest because rest is really important. I found a definition of spiritual rest. So physical rest, I saw somebody said, any behavior aimed at increasing physical or mental well-being. It can be active, like going for a walk outside, or it can be passive, like taking 10 minutes to sit down and just take deep breaths. My neighbor, where's Richard? Richard, I love this about you. We were talking a couple years ago and talk about how we spend our Saturday mornings. I don't know if you still do this or not, but he said, do you? Richard said, I love to get up early Saturday morning before everybody else gets up. I get my coffee, I sit on my couch, and I just stare at the wall. I go, really? Like, what? He goes, I go, what do you think of it? He's like, nothing. I don't think about anything. I just sit there. Now that's rest. There's a house at the what do you call the round thing? No, not cul-de-sac. The roundabout in Sugar Hill at the roundabout, and there's a house there with a couple chairs out front, and I can't tell you how many times I drive past, and they're just sitting out there. They're not on their phones, or they're just sitting out there together, just looking up. I go, I need to do that more. So that's rest. It's just taking time to stop or to go outside, go for a walk and enjoy beauty of nature. That can be replenishing to our spirit. That's important. Spiritual rest. I thought this was a good definition. I don't know what, yeah. In a world that glorifies busyness and normalizes never-ending productivity, God invites us to get off the treadmill of activity and just simply rest. This is good. Rest is an act of resistance to the empires and kingdoms of this world and within our own lives. Resting allows us to quiet ourselves before God and revives our minds, bodies, and spirits, and can be practiced in community or alone. That's what we're doing here. We're practicing rest in community, and it can be practiced alone. By the way, so my thought is this week we're talking about weekly rest in community, and next week we'll talk about personal rest, kind of privately, individually. What does that look like? When we rest, Jeannie Ewing, this is a quote that she said, when we rest, we nestle into the bosom of God. Resting is an act of trust. Resting is an act of trust. We can let our guard down knowing that God will provide for the details of our lives. We can let our guard down knowing that God will provide for the details of our lives. Rest restores, rest revives, rest recharges, it renews, it reminds us, it resets us. It's so good. It's so good. Rest is good. I came up with an acronym this past week, and I don't know that I'll touch too much on it this week, but I'll tell you what it is, and probably next week I'll talk more about it. But an acronym for rest. We'll see if you can remember, maybe at the end of the service. See if you can remember this. Rest is receiving encouragement and sowing trust. Receiving encouragement, sowing trust. Acronym for rest. So that's our definition for rest. First thought, rest is difficult. Rest is difficult. So what are, you can shout out if you want to, what are the obstacles to rest? What comes to your mind? Yep. Anxiety is an obstacle to rest. Yes, absolutely. What else? What'd you say? Too much to do. Yes. How many of you guys wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with stuff just going like this, and you're like, I don't know what to do. Do I get up and start on it, or do I try to go back to sleep, or do I scroll on social media? What are, you know? Yes, the busyness. Children. And the children will go, parents. What else? Phones. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So fear, anxiety, guilt, and shame rob us of rest. They interfere. Yeah. Sugar. No. Yes. This was a good quote. Carrie Newhoff said this about the guilt and shame that can rob us of rest. That's it's one of the things that makes rest difficult, an obstacle. Productivity shame involves the feeling that you aren't allowed to do the things that are unproductive. As a result, you feel guilty when you spend time on hobbies, watch a movie, or simply sit back and relax. Do any of you guys experience that? I do. What was it? Productivity shame. The feeling that you're not allowed to do things that are unproductive. Oh my goodness. We need to push that back. We need to be able to do things that are unproductive. We need to be able to call time out. We need to be able to just spend time on a hobby. We met with a couple a few weeks ago, and the guy's a filmmaker, and he's like, man, the thing that I love to do to recharge my batteries is I just go to a movie by myself during the week, during the day, just, and that helps me. And he didn't feel any productivity shame, you know, and I think that's good. So rest is difficult. Number two, rest is necessary. Rest is necessary for our physical health. It's necessary. Stress, when we don't rest, it affects our hearts. It affects our bodies. Heart attacks happen because of stress, and stress comes about because of a lack of rest. And worry and anxiety and fear, that really affects us very negatively. It affects our physical health. But a lack of rest also affects our spiritual health. The peace that we need to be able to walk through life, a sense of contentedness, a sense of just knowing that, you know what? I am good with God. I need to know that. We need to know. That doesn't need to be a question mark in our lives. And it doesn't have to be a question mark because of Jesus. There is security in our relationship with God because of what Jesus has done for us. And that comes through resting in Him. We'll talk about it in a minute. In terms of the necessity of rest, Paul Tripp says, when you're exhausted, bad things seem good and good things seem bad. And that's a perfect setup for moral failure. Bad things seem good and good things seem bad when you're not rested. Another little acronym that I came up with a few years ago in terms of falling into temptation, and you know, if you're fighting addiction or struggling with temptation, ATM is an acronym that resonated with me. ATM. A is when you're alone. Like, these are the factors, the perfect storm. You're alone. T is you don't have rest. And M is you're mad or you're emotional. So when you factor in emotions, isolation, and you're tired, you're not rested, watch out. You know, watch out. So we need rest. Question that came to my mind as I was thinking about this is, do you feel ragged or do you feel rested? A lot of times, just knowing you guys, and you guys know, I mean, through the week, we feel ragged. I get to Friday, and I'm like on fumes. And you guys do too, right? Do we feel ragged? Do we feel rested? So we fight against that. Now, it can be overwhelming to think about, well, I'm not doing a good job with this. I'm not eating healthy. I'm not exercising. I'm not resting. It's not intended to make us feel overwhelmed or frustrated or guilty or anything like that. But it helps give us kind of a compass, a true north to go, this is what we're aiming for. And there's freedom to fail here. There's freedom to fail. But if we don't know what we're shooting for, then we're going to be all over the place. And so many of us and so many people in our culture are really living life without a rudder on their boat, you know, and we do that. And we're just kind of drifting all over the place. And we wonder why things are so crazy in our lives, because we just don't have a direction. But knowing what Scripture tells us about rest, and knowing what Scripture tells us about feeding on God's word, and knowing what Scripture tells us about healthy exercise and working out our faith and sharing our faith, those are good things that are going to help us in spiritual health and life satisfaction and contentment. I was talking to, I can't remember who it was the other day. A lot of times I wake up feeling fearful. And I don't know why. There's really no foundation for the fear, but I just wake up feeling fearful. And it's been, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe I think it's coincided with starting this church. No, I'm just, well, some of it. But there are mornings where I just want to pull the covers over my head and not get up, not jump into the day. Where there are plenty of times in life where it's like, I'm ready to go. I'm excited about the day. And I battle. I go back and forth, you know. But a lot of the fear is unfounded. But rest, when I get up and I just go spend time with God, get on my knees and pray, spend time reading Bible in 1 year. By the way, if you don't read Bible in 1 year, that's okay. But that is a reading plan that's been helpful for me and a lot of us here. It's great. But I'll go up and do that. And then more times than not, like 9 times out of 10, I come away and the fear, the anxiety, the worry, whatever that I had has really dissipated because truth has washed over my soul and spirit. And I know a lot of you guys experience that too, but rest helps counter the fear and the anxiety and all the stuff that we face there. So some good news that we have this morning is that rest is an antidote. It's an antidote to the fear and the anxiety, the worry that we experience. And we all experience that to some degree. And part of the reason why we're still carrying it is because we're not resting. We're not resting the right way. We don't know how to rest. And we're just not thinking about rest. Or we're thinking about sleep as rest. But the rest that we need happens with our eyes open. We've got to carve time out for quietness. And doing stuff like this, being together and hearing God's word and being reminded, God loves you. God loves you. And he's got a good plan for your life. So 2, rest is necessary. 3, rest is required. God requires us to rest. We don't like requirements, right? We don't like rules. But God gave 10 requirements in Exodus, and rest is one of them. Isn't that amazing that God would say, you are commanded to rest. One day out of every 7 days, you need to call time out and rest. God is good because he knew that if he said, hey, I think you should rest, made it a suggestion, we wouldn't do it. We don't even do it when it's a commandment. But it's a commandment because he's telling us this is really important to your life, to you physically, to you relationally, to you spiritually. So in Exodus, it's interesting. He commanded to Israel and to us, Israel, every 7 days, take a break. But to Israel in the Old Testament, every 7 years, clean slate. If for slaves, they get set free. For land, don't plow the land for a whole year. Give it a break, right? Property gets returned. Everything gets reset every 7 years. So every 7 days, every 7 years, and then every 50 years was a year of Jubilee. So 7 times 7, year of Jubilee. And God commanded that of his people and of us. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. I'll just read the text. Remember the Sabbath day. This is in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, separate, set apart, different. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days, this is why he says don't do any work. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Sabbath is, the Hebrew word is Shabbat, which is really to cease, to end, to rest. It's interesting God's reason for why we should rest. God created everything in 6 days. And by the way, I know a lot of us maybe struggle. Is the Bible really true? That's an important question. Jesus believed it. He believed everything about Noah. He believed everything about all the about Jonah, all the things that we would go, that's crazy, but Jesus believed those things. And probably the hardest thing to believe about the Bible is the resurrection. Jesus predicted and prophesied with his disciples multiple times, specifically, they're going to kill me, and in 3 days, I'm going to rise from the dead. And then it happened. So if you're questioning and you're wondering about the Bible, that's, you know, don't feel guilty if you don't believe the Bible, all or some of it right now, but be in pursuit of that. And I'm telling you, there's good reason to believe all of the Bible. Jesus believed it. And if you want to start anywhere, start with the crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. But all that to say, God, the reason he gave to rest is he said, hey, in 6 days, I created everything, and then I took a break on the seventh. Now, God could, you know, our week could be 6 days because God got it all done in 6 days. But he said, no,
it's important that we build a day in to just rest. And by the way, I think it's interesting, my view, side note, how old is the earth? You know, were the days of creation literal or not? You know, a lot of people, it was a sphere, it was a period of time. And I don't know. We don't know. But I lean towards they were literal 6 days. They were literal days because of this. In Exodus 20, he says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So he tells us to do that, and he gives that in his example. Anyway, why does he want us to rest? Exodus 23, just kind of skipping forward, basically says the same thing in Exodus 23, but it says, that you may be refreshed. That you may be refreshed. And then in Exodus 33, skipping ahead a little bit, Moses is talking to God about the Israelites, and God's telling him, take him into the promised land. He's back and forth, and he's saying, I don't know if this is going to work, basically. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell him. They're fearful. I'm fearful. And God says, Moses, my presence will go with you. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. As I go with you, I will give you rest. So rest happens while God is with us. So God gives us the law, and then I'll say this, Exodus 35. Why does God put stuff like this in the Bible? He says, the seventh day shall be your holy day, a day of Sabbath, rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it is to be put to death. So the penalty for not keeping the Sabbath was death. And there are a couple reasons, I think, for that. Now, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that you go, that's a little harsh. But there are a couple things. First of all, God is establishing the law in the Old Testament. And he's holy. We don't understand the holiness of God. We have no comprehension of the holiness of God. And so God, the consequences of a departure from holiness are extreme. They're death. That's why Jesus came for us, so that he would take the consequences, not us. But God's establishing the law, it'd be like established setting the speed limit, 55 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour. There is a speed limit. There are consequences to that. Now, it's not death, but you can't have grace if you don't have law. So with Sabbath, there's law, and it's extreme, and it's that way with so many of other God's commands. But if you get pulled over for speeding, you're in a 55-mile-an-hour zone, and you're going 80 miles an hour, and the police officer comes and says, you know, you were breaking the law, you were doing wrong, I should give you a ticket, but I'm going to give you a warning, and I'm going to let you off. You get grace. Now, he couldn't have done that if there's no speed limit, right? So there's an establishment of the law. That's one thing. But I think what else was going on here, why God was saying, if you work on the Sabbath, there will be death as the penalty, is because in the context of that, in Exodus 35, God is, he's just given Israel the instructions on how to construct the tabernacle, his holy dwelling place on earth. Very detailed instructions on constructing the tabernacle. And then he's saying, don't break the Sabbath as you're constructing the tabernacle. Like, that doesn't go away. You're not going to honor me better by working 7 days a week to build the tabernacle. That's counterproductive. That doesn't go away. And, you know, I mean, being in ministry, all of us are in ministry, but full time for me, a lot of pastors we got to pay attention to that. You know, the work of ministry does not outweigh the command to rest, to take a break. A lot of pastors are just, you know, Sunday's a super busy day, and then there's just no break anytime the rest of the week. So that's important. But that's important for all of us. We're all in ministry. So all that to say, God gave us, he commanded rest so that we would be refreshed. And he says, I'll go with you. That's when it'll happen. And I love you. Why is the Sabbath a big deal to God? Why is the Sabbath a big deal? Ezekiel 20 tells us this, because that's a good question. Why is it big? Why does he want us to rest? Why does he want us to take a break? Why is that so important? Ezekiel 20, verse 12 says, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between us so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. So that they would know, we would know, that it's God who makes us holy. We don't make ourselves holy. He imparts to us his holiness. That's the gospel. That's the good news. The New Testament talks about this foreign righteousness that is imparted to us. On our own, all we have is a self-righteousness, which is despicable, right? We don't like self-righteous people, and sometimes we can be those people. But the righteousness that God loves and the righteousness that we love in other people is a foreign righteousness that comes from Jesus, and we love it because it comes with humility. We know we didn't deserve it. We get this, you know, not only was I wasn't like mediocre, I was an enemy when God gave me his righteousness through Christ. And so that humbles my heart and it births gratitude. So it's important. Ezekiel 20:12 says, I gave them Sabbaths as a sign so they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. Fourth point, rest is practical. Rest is practical. Back in the text of Ezekiel 20, it's pretty simple. Where's my, in my notes, it's pretty simple. He says, on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it, you shall not do any work. That's it. That's what it says. You should not do any work. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, Westminster Confession of Faith, basically, and it's not the Bible, but I think it gives us a good word. It said, well, how do we set it apart? How do we rest? You rest by worshiping, just calling time out. Treat this day as different than any other. Worship with other people. Come together like we've done today. You can worship privately. Go home. Rest. Read a Christian book. Read the Bible. Do something. Watch something that's going to be reflective in your relationship with God. Works of necessity. You know, the ox in the ditch type thing in the Bible talked about, you know, like flat tire, right? That's you got to change the tire. Works of necessity or works of mercy. So works of necessity, works of mercy. And a lot of us are in professions, okay, that require work on the Sabbath. And so sometimes it's hospitality. It may be paramedic, law enforcement, whatever. Now, if we have a choice, then we should try to make the Sabbath a different day than the rest. The Orthodox Jews today, and it started, I don't know when this all started, but they have 39 Sabbath categories of law. And the Pharisees started doing this way back. This is one of the things that Jesus came down on the Pharisees. There were so many laws about the Sabbath, what to do and what not to do, that the idea of rest actually became work. It became burdensome to try to keep the Sabbath. And Jesus said, you are weighing these people down with burdens that you're not even willing to carry yourself. And the rest that I commanded and that I desire for them, you are robbing them from this. It is interesting. So like Orthodox Jews today, and one thing that I respect them so much because they really take this seriously. But is it Toco Hills? I think there's a synagogue in Toco Hills, and a lot of Orthodox Jews live within a walking distance of the synagogue because in order to keep the Sabbath, you don't drive a car. You don't turn the lights on in your house. You don't use electricity. You don't use the stove, the oven. You don't cook. You don't clean up spills. You don't adjust the air conditioning in your house. You don't do any of these things. Some of the things I saw, you don't tear toilet paper. You don't flush the toilet. You don't brush your teeth. Those are some of the extreme things that even today in Orthodox Judaism, now I don't know if they all keep that, but that's there. So that's one side. If you grew up in church like I did, Sabbath looked maybe like getting up, scrambling to go to church, having arguments in the car on the way to church, going to Sunday school, whatever, coming home, having lunch, taking a nap. We were forced to nap as kids. And that's probably good, but it's ingrained in me. So Sunday afternoons, I just like get tired. And it's funny, I had a roommate one time, Troy Burwell. And on Sunday afternoons after church, I would go home and take a nap, and he would go home and go outside, and he'd spend the whole day outside. We got to talking about it. He said, well, when I was a kid, my parents made us play outside. I said, when I was a kid, my parents made us take naps. And so that transferred. Oh, I got 5 minutes. All right. Let's see. I'll keep moving. I think I can land the plane and be okay. I'll skip over that. But what Sabbath looks like, it's simple. Just treat it differently. Don't work. And separate this day. This is a big point, and maybe to come, what are the challenges in keeping the Sabbath? We live in a culture that every day is basically like any other day. Sunday is another Saturday, and we get dragged along with it. There's so much that happens on Sundays that also happens on Saturdays, and, you know, it's hard to say no to stuff. And it's like, if I'm going to engage in this, it also includes Sunday, and it's maybe challenging my convictions about Sabbath. And sometimes you've got work that's like, they're requiring me to do this, and I feel like there's a conviction. I'm not saying, you know, again, I'm not prescribing anything here. This is a heart deal, and all of our situations are different. I'm just saying, what does it look like to have one day in seven that's different? And by the way, the Sabbath originally was the seventh day of the week. And you may wonder, well, how did it become Sunday for Christians? It became Sunday because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. That's one reason. The second reason is in the book of Acts, it talks about how believers would gather on the first day of the week. And so I think what happened is that after the resurrection, they just moved it to celebrate the resurrection. And so the Sabbath became the Lord's Day on the first day of the week. All right, let me go to my last point, because this is the most important, that our rest is found in Jesus. Our rest is found in Jesus. Matthew 12, verse 8, Mark 2, and Luke 6 all say that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He's Lord of the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, when he said that, oh my goodness, they were like, he's done. We're getting rid of him. Why is Jesus Lord of the Sabbath? Because he is the Sabbath. Jesus is rest. And our challenge is we maybe think that we're the Sabbath. We take that on ourselves in terms of control and what that day looks like. We don't submit ourselves to God to say, you are king. You are the creator. You've said, take time and rest. It's good for me. But we just say, no, I know better. And I do that too, right? That's part of the sin nature that we have. You've heard me say it before. Why do we sin? Why do we like to sin? Why do we sin? Because we love it. We love sin. And Jesus knew that was a problem. He said, that's why I got to go get them, because they love it. And he begins to transform our hearts over time when he comes to live in our hearts and dwell in our hearts. But he's Lord of the Sabbath. And I love this verse from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. The Sabbath, we read in Exodus 20, is about holiness, being set apart. It's about holiness, about righteousness. And 1 Corinthians 1, 30 says, by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. By God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us, Jesus became to us, wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. He became righteousness to us. He is Lord of the Sabbath because he is the Sabbath. Jesus is our rest. In Exodus 33, I mentioned earlier, God tells Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Remember I read that? My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says the exact same thing that God tells Moses in Exodus 33, because Jesus is our rest. He comes, and he comes in the flesh. He's in person. Now he's with us, and he's saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. You can't find rest outside of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Message paraphrase of that scripture is good. I don't remember if I put it on the screen or not. I think I did. Yeah. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Isn't that good? Come to me. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Yes, all are. Final thoughts. You remember the acronym, REST? Yes! We need a prize. Receiving encouragement, sowing trust. Receiving encouragement, sowing trust. Final thoughts. There'll be three slides. We rest one day in seven for three reasons. One, God told us to rest. He told us to. Two, we need to rest. And three, rest reminds us that God is the one who makes us holy. That's the three reasons. Number two, the gospel message is not about work in what we do for God. That is not the gospel message. It's what we hear a lot in church, is what we are supposed to do for God. That's what every other religion in the world teaches, is about what we are supposed to do to earn God's favor. That is not the good news. That is not the gospel. It's not about what we do for God. It's about resting in the work that Jesus has done for us. It's about resting in his work. Religion says work, and Jesus says rest. Rest. And I'll close with this verse on the screen. I love this from Isaiah 30, verse 15. This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Quietness and trust. That is good news for us today. Father, we are here and we are weary. We are tired. We are exhausted. We think that the answer is more sleep. And sometimes and oftentimes it is. But what we find from your word this morning is we need rest. While our eyes are open, we need to sit with you. We need to be in relationship with you. We find our rest in Jesus, who has said, come to me, you who are weary, you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. So, Father, would you meet us this morning, wherever we are? We may be coming from a place where we're like, I have no idea who God is. I don't know about Jesus. I don't believe the Bible. I'm just a lot of questions. Would you speak to our hearts, speak to our spirit, even right now, that we would hear you say, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter, and I am well pleased in you. And the pressure is off of you. It's not about what you have done or what you will do. It's about what Jesus has done. And so I love you unconditionally. May that be our rest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.